With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and today we're doing the Brisbane Lions 2020 season preview. So before we get into 2020, we'll have a quick look back at season 2019 and 16 wins, finishing second on the ladder. Fair to say, at the start of the year, if they were offered that, they'd take it without
Absolutely
hesitation.
Yep. Yeah, they were obviously the surprise bunch, but when you really looked at them play, you were like, this is legit. This is really how it should be. It's one of the few teams where, on paper, you're like, yeah, not too bad. But when they put it all together, you're like, this is a really, really well-run squad.
Fantastic mixture of, like, young, hungry talent and
very wise. You just tell the young talent what to do with it.
And some pretty good recruits, too. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I felt like the year before, they were a little bit too happy with just 5 wins.
Yeah.
You thought, oh, the green shoots. This is amazing. 16 wins in second.
Especially how they finished off the season. Yeah, a real winner to be a Brisbane supporter, and they definitely got out there and supported them as well.
They did. They got some big crowds, and that's really, when we talk about their highs for the year, I think that was one of the best. They had a couple of sellouts there before finals. You know?
Fagan getting recognised in public. You should never have expected that from a Brisbane squad.
No, getting stopped up there, and a few of them actually recognised Luke Hodge. They didn't think. They didn't think he used to play for the Broncos.
I mean, to be fair, they called him that cunt for the first few rounds until they realised that he was on their squad.
Yeah, it still happens, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, you run with it.
What other highs did they have throughout the year?
Well, I thought their start.
Round one. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. 1, 2, and 3 to put on 300-point Hurtons in a row.
Scoring 100 points, yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And do it, you know, and they're a little wasteful too, like 15-12, 16-11, 16-11. You kick 15 plus goals in a game, that's a good game.
Nothing wrong with 16-11. I'll take 16-11. But round one especially, you know, the reigning premiers comes to your place, and not only you win handily. That's a good day.
And aggressively too. But their ability to put heavy scores on was spectacular all year. And against quality opposition, and they also didn't ease up for the also runs as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's some close games they got on top of as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
There were a few up there, like 1 point, 2 point differences.
Well, especially, and that's one of the highs I had, was the 1 point win against Geelong at home.
Yeah.
Bringing back miracle on grass memories for all the Lions fans that they love so much. And I think that was Lincoln McCarthy's 50th or 100th game.
Yeah.
And he's the one that took the screamer to kick the winner as well.
Yeah.
And speaking of highs, Lincoln McCarthy.
Oh, he's definitely the standout. One of those guys that, some of the street, I mean, looks like he'd be, you know, a very well-disciplined student.
Yeah. And he was the steak knives thrown in with the Lachie Neal.
Yeah.
But some of the plays that he made and the moments of sheer brilliance.
The marks,
Where did this come from, mate?
No idea.
And really good on the left boot as well, both sides of the body.
Yeah, he was thick nugget, that little fella.
Isn't he? Absolutely stoked they'd be with what they got out of him. Lachie Neal was brilliant. He was my pick for Brownlow for most of the year. But really, he played. I mean, they wanted an absolute A-grade midfielder, and that's what they got out of him. He did exactly what they thought he would do.
Some they didn't expect. They just popped up, you know, all around the place. they're a team now that... the people that they used to rest on, like, obviously, we're not going into who's probably on the chopping block yet, but, I mean, Daniel Rich, he's one of the players that had so much pressure on him all the time and performed by himself for a lot of seasons.
Now, I think that they've found how to use Daniel Rich now, and that is, we're going to play him. You know what? He's going to be backwards of centre.
Yeah.
He's going to be the one that sets up the play for us.
But their forward structure was just unbelievable. Like, their ability to find goals through guys like, you know, Rayner, through Oscar McGinnity?
The Big O.
Big O. They kicked the fourth most goals for the season.
Yep.
Behind only West Coast, Richmond and GWS. So you got the two grand finalists and the reigning premier.
Yep.
For a team that was coming from as far back as them,
yeah.
Geez, that's a feather in your cap.
And on that, Charlie Cameron. There are a lot of times where teams had to come up with a plan for Charlie Cameron. You know, one-on-one, he was just too good.
Do you reckon Brisbane actually started the Simple Minds thing? Collective Minds?
Collective,
because it was up in the Gold Coast, wasn't it? So they might have actually
had to have some
input on it to get players to leave Adelaide. And just, it was 4D chess. They wanted Charlie Cameron. They're like, all right, this will do it.
I've got a feeling, though, like, I like the theory, but I've got a feeling he left just before it.
Yeah, don't fuck with my program, man.
he might have got it through secondhand, though.
Brisbane supporters will be quite happy to think that Fagan was planning this far ahead to snare Charlie Cameron through PSYOPs in Gold Coast.
They'd believe it. They believe it, without a doubt.
They just wouldn't know what the fuck Collective Minds is. They don't get that news.
Or they might have just waved some big-titted meter maids at them. I don't know. That'll do it too.
No. Kappa's moved back to Melbourne. The lows then for the year for the Brisbane.
Getting done by Essendon is one of mine.
That's always a low, yeah.
But I mean, Essendon still made finals.
Yeah, but they were coming off 3 weeks in a row of 100-point plus.
Yeah.
And to kick 9-11.
And I got a feeling Essendon struggled in the early parts of the season too.
Yeah, Essendon kicked 17-10 and gave almost a 10-goal hurting on them. It was Essendon's home game, granted, but even so, they would be disappointed with that.
Yeah.
I would have thought losing 2 weeks in a row to Richmond really gave them the obviously the confidence, but I feel like they lost confidence going into the finals with that one, because one was at home, one was away. One was away first, then at home they lost as well. I feel like that's really hard to get over when you go into the final series against teams where it's tight at the top.
But at the end of the day, they were beaten by the better side too.
Yeah,
That's what I think. Even though they finished higher on the ladder than the Tigers. I put the Collingwood thumping.
Yeah.
Which is about round 5.
Yeah, it was just after the Essendon thumping.
Yeah. Because they hyped this one up. And at the time, they were 3-1.
Yeah.
They got a capacity crowd in there. And they really, like, if you lost by a goal, you go, you know what, we gave our best for the day. But they were outclassed and had no answer to Jaden Stevenson.
Yeah.
You know, which is a little bit disappointing for them. But they recovered for the rest of the year.
So did they win a final?
No, they went out in straight sets,
right? Yeah.
But, I mean, that is a low, because you finish top two, means you get two home finals and you lose them both.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you feel like just the fact that they hosted a final.
Yeah. Like,
they're a bit unlucky to drop out of the semi, really, because it was only a late goal by
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, old mate Brent Daniels. At the 27-minute mark of the final quarter, which, you know, you don't make grand finals by accident.
Yeah.
You have to play out every single minute, particularly when there's only a few points in it. But they would have been a bit gutted to lose in that last few moments.
Yeah, especially after getting off to such a great start.
Mm. An absolute pasting. They kicked the first, 4 goals straight.
Yeah, and then took a deficit into quarter time. it was a funnier game, that one. It was very tight. It was only going to be, you know, one or two goals in the final quarter, just the way it was played. And
it was a great final, though.
Yeah, of course. It was finals footy, and they got to experience that.
But I think that's the disadvantage they came in under, with so little finals experience for a majority of the list.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
But they'll be, you know, so much better squad for that experience.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what you felt like. The fans stayed and cheered them, even though they went out in straight sets. Yeah. And you feel like, you know what, they're going to be better for this. And if they got to the grand final, it was probably a year too early for them anyway.
Yeah. And it makes the fans feel like they really earned it when they do win a flag.
Yep, exactly.
They don't feel like bandwagons. They're like, it was a hurtful season, that 2019.
All right, let's have a look at their ins and outs through the off season. We'll start with their outs. Obviously, Luke Hodge retired again. Much less fanfare this time, but walks straight into an off-field role anyway, and half at the club, half at the media. You'd have to say the decision to take him out of retirement for 2 years has done its job.
Oh, absolutely. I think it did better than I expected, anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, they're disappointed to lose backline general Josh Walker, but, you know, losing Hodge as well will be problematic.
Yeah, and I think Hodge, in their two finals, even though they lost, he was just about best on ground, best player for them in both of those games.
He's certainly one of the most influential.
Yeah. Josh Walker leaves to his third club. He's a little bit of a filler. Louis Taylor, they've got to be disappointed in losing him, because he's a former NAB Rising Star winner.
Yeah.
Very, very handy, very, very busy.
Looking very sneaky in the Marsh series too. I mean, you never know what that transfers into the regular season.
Yeah, doing well for the Swans. And Tom Cutler, who's gone down to Essendon.
Yeah.
A bit of depth lost in those players there.
I actually like Little Taylor, just because he's Louis. That sneaky little rapid fucker.
He's always busy.
Yeah.
And that's good for a player. All right, let's have a look at their double-ups for next year. So remember, this is the team that finished second on the ladder. Their double-ups are Geelong, Collingwood, Hawthorn, North and Gold Coast. You've got to be fucking wrapped with that.
Bloody oath. Yep. It's a kind of bounce, that one.
It's neither of the two grand finalists. So you've only got two teams that played in the finals, plus Gold Coast, which is obviously their cross-team rival. But
yeah. You'd be stoked.
Yeah, could not have asked for better.
Who finished highest out of that mob?
Well, Geelong finished third? No, Geelong finished minor premiers. What am I talking about?
I still think Geelong on the down because I think all their players are old.
That's the other thing too. I think Geelong are not going to be minor premiers this year.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakdowns there, and I think lacking Tim Kelly, they won't have much depth.
Yeah,
but
or less depth. Anyway,
yeah.
So at the same time, out of last year's top four, Geelong are the ones I want to face most.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. But you're Hawthorn, so you like beating the shit out of them too.
Of course I do.
Yeah, I mean, Brisbane a top eight squad easily, and with those double ups, they could go into the season expecting to win them all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what, 10 wins straight up.
Yep, 10 from those. But you know, out of those 10 double up games, I can't see them losing more than two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that'd be really disappointing if they did. This should be easy money for them. This is what gets you into that top four position.
Yeah, with Lachie Neal having a healthy preseason, should look good tomorrow too.
All right, so who is in for a big year at Brisbane? Like, I had Neil down as one because he was absolutely brilliant last year, and I thought should have got more votes come Brownlow night, but you'd expect him to do the same again. No signs of
healthy,
slowing down.
Hell yeah. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's many players that can match him.
Speaking of looking healthy, Marcus Adams, if he... It looks like he's had an injury-free pre-season, which hasn't happened for him for a long time. He's a specimen, they call him, and he's going to be an absolute rock down back for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like most excited about their forward line. Obviously, Lincoln McCarthy, who we already talked about.
Yeah.
Obviously, he can push down a little bit and make it really hard for a solid matchup for defenders in that forward line.
Very annoying.
Yeah, because obviously Cam Rayner, another young guy, is really showing what he can do. You don't have enough information on him because he's still developing, still becoming good. That I think it's actually kind of a hard matchup because he's going to get better over this offseason. And you're going to find they can do a lot of things that he couldn't do last season.
Yeah, another offseason into him, I think he's going to gain that extra yard of pace which he's lacked.
Yeah,
and then he becomes so unstoppable.
Yeah, and Danny McStay thrown in the mix as well. It's pretty formidable. There's a lot you can work with that forward line. A lot of different options.
Well, and McCluggage and Cameron as the little blokes. I mean, geez, they're pretty good at the drop of the ball. Hipwood though, is he vegan?
He's anemic
because if he needs to get on the supplements that Adams is on,
the next part we go through is who's on the outer, and I've almost put Hipwood in there because he won't be. They'll never let go of him because they think he could be the next Jeremy Cameron. But I think
get on the protein, lad.
I don't see him. Like, he's had that promise for a couple of years that he could absolutely tear something apart, but geez, he can go missing easily.
Yeah.
I think because he's not a contested mark player.
Yeah.
So when it's finals and everyone's tight shoulder to shoulder, he has to work hard for it.
Yeah.
But he is a never stop moving player. Like, just his gas tank is massive. And part of it's because he probably weighs 65 kilos.
Yeah. But it's just through that, though, I think he's beatable, you know.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
When you come up against, like, a Jeremy Cameron or, you know, even Jack Riewoldt or somebody like that, you go, oh, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? I think when it comes to Hipwood, you go, all right, we know what to do.
Just shoulder to shoulder. Having said that, if he gets on the gas on the preseason and manages to dodge Asada for a bit, he could be a monster.
Yeah, he could be. I don't think that's going to happen somehow.
I'm just hide under a few rings.
I also had Alan Christensen down, again, purely on age and his kind of role. There are a lot of other players there that do it do it better than him.
Everything he does, Charlie Cameron does better.
Oh, and Lincoln McCarthy.
Yeah.
I mean, Lincoln McCarthy gives you so many different options in a younger body.
One that I've got a question mark over is Daniel Rich. His best is brilliant.
Yeah.
But his go missing factor is also there as well.
Yeah, I think, though, they've learnt how to play him.
They flogged the fuck out of him for years.
Yeah, exactly. And he was sort of the only classy ball user they had. Now they got Neil and Zorko, which are going to get all the ball. With Luke Hodge going out and obviously Grant Birchall coming in, I didn't do the ins. I think that he's going to be more of that leader behind the ball.
I think Harris Andrews has to take that spot.
He's going to be the key.
He's an unbelievable backman.
Yeah, and he's going to take the best forward each week. But his job is going to be to stop somebody. I think Rich is going to be the one. All right, we've got the ball now. Give it to him. You sort it out.
Yeah.
I want to see Andrews on Walker just to see who's got the bigger ears.
It would be good. Tex has only got one big ear, though.
Yeah, that's true.
One sits in a little bit closer. I didn't do the ins, but Birchall was one we mentioned, but they're going to get just an experience out of him. And it looks like he's up and playing, which he hasn't done much in the last couple of years. But also on the outer is Cam Ellis-Yeoman, who's one of the players I've just got in. Copped a little bit of a whacking from the coach. He got dropped from a preseason game because, if you read into it, wasn't preparing himself right. That's not good. That's not a good first impression.
That is terrible.
But it's one of those ones where a player can either accept that and go, all right, yep, no, fair enough, I fucked up, I'm going to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
Or they go, I'm just up here for a holiday, I don't give a fuck anyway. And they end up fucking their career over.
Yes. We had this problem with the Crows. It seemed like he's got a fuck ton of talent, so he didn't have to put in work until you're against a league where people have got more talent and they work harder.
Yeah. If that's coming out of the coach, it sounds like a little bit of a lack of effort. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, especially talent. Everyone at the AFL level has got talent. Yeah. It's just the difference is how many people have talent and work hard.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's in a bit of trouble. Coach pressure. Zero.
Fuck all.
I don't know if he's just signed a new deal, Fagan, but they absolutely love him. They believe in him. The fans love him. There is zero chance he doesn't see out another 3 years.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Voss is up for an assistant job? Do you reckon he's sent his resume in saying, can I come back now? I reckon you guys are on to something.
I think Voss is going to stay where he is and might get a head role there.
Yeah.
I changed that at the last second, didn't I? Do that. All right. So, 16 wins, finishing second in 2019. Where do you see the Brisbane Lions finishing in 2020?
Well, I think they kind of went a bit hard during the regular season, and it's some teams are good enough to run the whole league.
Yep.
But I think they're going to try and do a Sydney and keep their powder dry. So they're going to rest their players throughout the season, not take chances with injuries, and finish a bit lower down. But they'll be coming in September with a very strong list and looking to go the whole way. So I've got them finishing sixth in the regular season, but that could very much change come finals.
So finishing sixth, we talk about premiership windows, and I think there's only a certain number of clubs that are a premiership chance. Do you say they're a chance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are too.
Yeah. I've got them. See, I feel like they've got a history of flogging the fuck out of their players. I don't think they know how to rest players. So I feel like they're going to really push it into finals and render that top four with the fourth spot.
And premiership chance?
Absolutely premiership chance. They'll be in there and fighting. If they can just hammer out some inconsistencies they have, and if they've got some flaws that get exposed by better rounded out teams, really. They've got a few game plans that they don't really have an answer for at the moment, but they're a team that's going to improve every month.
Yeah, I've got them finishing sixth, but I think that is absolute worst case scenario is they'll finish sixth. Yeah. Even now that I go back through it and look at their double ups, I think a top two finish again is not out of reason.
Yeah.
But sixth, and I think they'll just drop a few as they taper into finals and give it a red hot go.
Yeah, I'm probably a little pessimistic on them too because I've actually got Freo finishing fifth above them, and I can't see that happening.
Shit.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. That's a regret.
I might have been high as balls. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but
I feel like we did an episode just on Josh's ladder picks.
I don't know how the fuck that happened. But anyway, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, that'll do us.
All right. Good luck. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.